Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I've brightened things up a little bit here in the studio. I don't know if you can see it or not. Changed a little bit of my settings. I was watching the show yesterday, the rerun of the show, and I thought, boy, Coach, you look dark. Plus, I need some makeup, don't I? I got all this sparkling on my face. Sean Hannity and all those guys, they would have powder. I haven't got to the powder stage. But I did change my lighting here in the studio. Got on my new shirt. Intolerant. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus was the most intolerant of all people. Praise the Lord for that. And thank you for joining. Thank you for joining. We have been through hell. Here in my house, the last started about 11 o'clock last night. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Some of you would like to blame the devil. I don't blame the devil. Sometimes the Lord sends an earthquake. Well, if I start shaking, you understand what's going on. There's an earthquake going on here. Hey, Rich, you won't believe this. I was sitting this morning doing a little bit of show prep as everything was shaking, and said, I hope Rich is watching today. I don't know why, but you encourage me that you're here. For some reason, my spirit cried out to you to be there. So praise the Lord that you're here. And yeah, there's an earthquake going on. And nothing serious. It's not my wife and I love each other. My children are happily married. No divorces, no deaths, nothing like that. But there's an earthquake going on in the Dobenmeyer house right now. And I just thank God for it. I thank God for the earthquake. I thank God. It says, the Bible says, thank God for all the Romans 5, I think it is. Thank God, not the King James Version, I'm paraphrasing. Thank God for all the problems and trials we have, for they develop patience, and patience develops character. Character develops hope, and hope will not disappoint. And so, you know, as an old football coach, I used to bring a lot of hurricanes and earthquakes to our team. I put them through some crap that they sure didn't like. And it made them stronger, paid off. Develop character within them. And so I'm not whining and moaning here today. I thank God for the earthquakes. I thank God for what he's taught me and is teaching us in the earthquakes. And just an honor to be able to join us here this morning. I believe, as I said to some of the guys here before we came on, by the way, there's room for a couple more of you here in the queue if you've never been in here. Now's the time. No time like the present to do it for the first time. If you're watching on our website, just click over there where it says join the huddle and jump right in here. Some of you listening on phone, 605-475-0017. I'll say it again slowly. You get in your car, going to work, you can listen to it on 605-475-0017. 605-475-0017. And Michelle and I got a phone call in the middle of the night. It was almost early middle of the night, like 11:30. That's middle of the night for me. And I was on the phone quite a while dealing with a issue. And neither one of us slept very much. And we were up together today, this morning, about 4 o'clock. And thank God for problems like that because, whoops, is my camera okay? Somebody said turn your camera down. Is it okay? What does that mean, Jared?
Get your face more above the queue.
Thank God for problems like that because
okay,
whoops, is my camera okay? Somebody said turn your camera down. Is it okay? So anyway, you know, you get troubles like that. Michelle and I were praying together today and loving on each other today. Thank God for that, right? That trials and tribulations drive you to those whom you can most trust. So we're in it together, and we know the Lord's faithful. And I don't know what's going. I think it's a good earthquake. It don't feel good. I think it's a good one. I'm far more encouraged than I was an hour ago. Hey, but guys, the Bible says encourage yourself in the Lord. Do you hear me? encourage yourself in the Lord. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say everything's going to be good, says it's going to work to good. Trust the Lord that it's going to work good out of it, right? I know just from a brief conversation, Rich is going through hell right now. Pastor Wayne's going through hell. And if truth be told, some others are going through hell. And probably those who are listening to us right now are going through hell. So it's not really hell. It just seems like it. You're going through an earthquake, and you're not in the earthquake alone. And aren't you glad that in the midst of your earthquake, you have the ability to get on here and be with some brothers this morning? That's a great encouragement. It's a great encouragement to me. And I'm going to we're going to open. I'm going to let Roger wanted to open with a prayer. I'm going to open with a prayer here a little bit this morning, but I want to speak specifically to those of us in the queue today, and to those of us who are listening or who might be listening later. I want to be able to use this this earthquake to encourage you here this morning. So Roger, go ahead. Hey, listen, guys. Well, let Roger go ahead and pray. Roger, go ahead and pray if you will.
Lord, we just thank you, Father, this morning, and Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the love that you show us, truth of your word. And Lord, I pray this morning for each man that is represented here in this huddle live. I pray for the men that are standing in front of a mirror, the men that are in a car driving, the ladies that may be listening. I lift them up, Father, that you would continue to churn in their heart a desire to serve you and to take their faith and put it into action. I specifically lift up each individual, the pastor, Dave, Rich, that are going through some difficulties, or as Dave has said this morning, a few earthquakes. And I pray that you would give them wisdom and good counsel. Pray that you would give them the desires of their heart as it relates to some of these things coming to pass. Lord, we are grateful for your love. Be with us. Lord, let our day today be a day that honors you in all that we do. And may we meet again here tomorrow. We lift these things up in the precious name of our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. We lift these up in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, listen. Scripture says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Hey, can't conquer an earthquake if you're not in it. Huh? Can't conquer a battle if you're not in it. It's in all these things that we're more than conquerors. That's an interesting verse. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? See, that promise isn't that you're going to win, but it's going to be even greater than just a victory. It's going to be even greater than that. In all these things, we're more than a conqueror. That is what a powerful, powerful verse that this is. I spoke yesterday, excuse me, I think it was yesterday or three days ago, about our desire, our need to encourage the encouragers. And I believe that more than anything. I'm going to try to give you, not on purpose, I got a soft side I'm going to come at you with today. I'm a good ranting and raving and yelling and pounding the table, but I'm going to, what was it Flip Benham said? I have a big heart and alligator's hide. I think that's all of us. I think it's a lot of us. It takes alligator hide to live, fight this fight that we're fighting. Please understand, as I said, it's not always the devil. And even if it is the devil, the promise is that God's going to use it for good. And a lot of things that happen to us in our lives are because it's simply the consequences of sin. And sadly, not always your own sin. Sin has consequences. When someone close to you is in sin, it blows up your house as well. And I this morning, one of the things the Lord has shown me, that's really Christianese, isn't it? When you say, one of the things the Lord has shown me. I hate to even sound that way, but somebody showed it to me. I learned something in this thing. And one of the things that the Lord showed me is we are totally and completely surrounded by brokenness. We all are. is brokenness. Look at your family. Look at your immediate family. And look at the brokenness in your immediate family. Look at your friends. And look at the brokenness. If I could open up the queue down here, I'm not going to do it. But if I were to open up the queue and I were to say, hey, Pastor Wayne, talk a little bit about what's disappointing your heart today. Talk a little bit about the burden you're carrying today. I believe that brother would take the entire show. And if I went to Roger and said, Roger, he would take the entire show and then call me when the show's over. And Kevin is surrounded by brokenness, walking through brokenness. And Matt and Larry, who are together up in Findlay, Ohio, there's brokenness everywhere. There's brokenness. Stephen, brokenness. JR, brokenness. Rich, there's brokenness. Jared, there's brokenness. It's everywhere, everywhere we look. And Michelle and I learned this morning is we haven't been very sensitive to brokenness. We haven't been very sensitive to our brother's needs. And that I'm so wrapped up in my own brokenness and fighting my own fight, I don't help Pastor Wayne bear his burdens. Not really. I don't help Rich bear his burdens. Not really, I don't. And you can see this, guys. Go on Facebook and spend 2 minutes on my Facebook page and ask yourself one simple question. Are the Christians on Facebook page bearing my burdens or casting more on me? It's called piling on. You just throw a flag on that. It's called piling on. And I'm guilty as the next guy. But Christians major in piling on. We major in piling on. And I've watched this whole Trump debate and the arrows in my back and all that stuff. I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy. And you know what I see, JR? Who are my enemies? Sad, isn't it? My enemies aren't the God-haters. The God-haters, the homos, the pro-aborts, they're not getting on my Facebook page calling me names. It's my brothers. And why are my brothers doing this? Because they don't, you ready? They don't really love me. They don't really love me. My buddy Flip Benham, I would never say anything publicly against him. I love that brother. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how Flip just came to mind because this story isn't about Flip. I can tell you this. Ain't nobody watching this show has any idea the wounds in that brother's heart. And we can't wait to wound him some more. We see our guys who are on the front lines and they're being hurt by friendly fire. Somebody say amen, just so I know I'm talking to the right group. The scripture says that it's the wounds of a friend that are grievous. The wounds of a friend.
Amen.
My old buddy Dave Klontz, when I was a young coach, so I'll never forget what he told me. He says, Dob, you better make sure that when all the shooting starts, that every bit of the enemy's in front of you. I never forgot that. And because we are in a world where there is such brokenness around us, we don't understand that most people are ministering out of that brokenness. They're ministering out of their own pain. My sweet wife said to me this morning, "Well, honey, just more rejection." I feel like I got a PhD in rejection. Can anybody say amen on that one? I got a PhD. And rather than me sitting here and looking at my friend JR and realizing JR's got a PhD in rejection and running to his aid and lifting up his arms, I'd rather get a bow and arrow and shoot him too. Oh yeah, well, take this, you deserve it. Bang. But if you hadn't done that, rather than coming along or alongside him, I'm not getting into a man hug here. I'm talking about me. And the brokenness around me that I've ignored. Not mine. And understand that people strike out when they're wounded. And really, for the most part, even though you can say you've come to Christ, you've received Jesus as your Savior, say all those nice Christian words, the reality of it is we're deeply wounded. I'm deeply wounded. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm trying to teach us all a lesson here this morning. I'm really wounded. But I have Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. And I look around me at all the brokenness, and I forget they don't have Christ. How do they make it? And I look at some of the people around me and their brokenness. They know they're broken. And how calloused I am towards it. Oh well, she made her bed, she can lay in it. Not realizing she keeps laying in that bed because she's broken. Somebody's got to heal her. So I think in all this mess, we kind of lose sight of that. So I want to share a couple things with you. Turn to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Hey, Jared, get that first screen share up there for me, if you will, from Michael. Where am I? What did I say, 1 Corinthians? Do you see what I'm talking about, Jared? Jared, I want to go to Corinthians first, so I'll just get that screen share ready then, brother, that the one from Michael. I want to say this, as we talked about yesterday, God is love, right? Wasn't that great teaching yesterday? Wasn't that great? Wow. God, it's 20 after. I got to get room. I'm going to show you something here, fellas. Jesus said there's two commandments. Pastor Wayne, what were those two commandments? Jesus took the entire law and he whittled it down. They said, what's the greatest one, Lord? Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Is it voting your conscience? Is that the greatest commandment? Make sure you don't cast your vote for a... Is that the greatest commandment, Jesus? Jesus said, nah, I don't care what you vote for. Actually, they didn't even have voting. What did he say the two greatest commandments were, Pastor Wayne?
Love God with all you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. Got to know what love is, though.
Stop there, Matt. We don't. And as Larry has shown us, Larry, who we can't see there because he's sitting sharing it with Matt. Hey, Larry. those of us in the Christian community, we ought to love each other. We're more interested in loving the lost than we are loving the found. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen. Amen.
We don't. We don't. And I know this. Oh, I just kind of wish I could tell you all the whole story. I saw last night at about midnight when my phone rang a second time. I had one on my cell phone, another phone rings. I saw the different of two seeds. Hey, boys, I was pissed. But I didn't lash out. The other phone rings, and on the other end is someone who's pissed. And he's lashing out. And there it was. There were the two seeds right in front of me. I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not lashing out in my brokenness. Because I realize he's broken. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He's my brother. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's time. I just got to throw this one out there. Stop attacking your brothers on Facebook. Stop it. I don't know if you know this or not. Facebook has a private message. Do you know how to use that? Do you know how to use that? Don't you understand we just show division within the body? When brothers get on Facebook and argue back and forth, don't you understand that? Now, I'm not talking about arguing a position. That's okay. But when it gets down to personal invective, when it gets down to attacking a brother's position, that's not for public debate, boys and girls. Not if you love me. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and don't have love, King James says charity, I'm becoming a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and I'm voting for Cruz and I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and I don't have love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I go and stand out in front of the abortion clinics, and I go down and I fight with Stanford Judge Roy Moore, and I want to abolish abortion, and I want to do everything I can to live a righteous life, but I don't have love, they don't profit me anything. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy, doesn't hold itself up, puff itself up. I'm holier than you because I'm not voting for Trump. That's not love. It doesn't behave itself unseemly, doesn't seek its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in sin, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Now, I'm speaking to me. I have not shown love in some areas to some of my brothers, and I'm sorry. But for some people, to attack others publicly who are their brothers, I believe that's grievous to the heart of the Lord. You with me still, guys? Still with me? I should be bearing. If I put JR on speaker and I said, JR, you got 40 minutes. Tell us how crappy your life is. We'd all be crying at the end, I bet. The disappointments, heartaches, circumstances we don't even know. And the last thing I would do if I'm his brother in Christ is to want him to have to carry that burden all by himself. I love him. Even the songwriters are smarter than us. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. It's still blowing up on my phone. If I look down, that's why. So I got this, and I got this. God's so good. God's so good. I got this email from Michael Andrews in Savannah, Georgia. I know Michael, but I barely know him. And he came down to Montgomery, Alabama. He came to Washington, D.C. He's a good man. He's a good man. Watches the show regularly. Hey, John.
Hey, buddy.
Can we get that screen share there, Jared? Yeah. I don't know. Can I read this to you guys? Coach, maybe you have to make that a little smaller, Jared. I don't know. I can just a little bit smaller. There it goes. It hurts to see people you would think that would have your back in any situation join the crowd and throw knives. It hits home to hear you talk about brothers condemning you over a vote. A while back, I tried to get a brother to listen to your show, and as soon as you said something fondly about Trump, that was it. Immediately, he says, Coach has blood on his hands. I said, you're kidding me, right? I said, have you ever voted on a candidate that's won the election? He said, yeah. I said, abortion has been legal as long as I've been alive. And by your own judgment, how much blood's on your own hands? I told him you need to get the beam out of your own eye. I said, the world tries to beat us over the head with Matthew 7, judge not. But it continues saying, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. See, these so-called brothers are having nothing to do with their fellow Christians who vote for Trump, even if they believe this is wrong. The wrong choice, it means to condemn? Do they want to be judged by the same standard? To be condemned over a vote that in some cases like Colorado, the vote had no impact on the outcome? Which is probably the case a whole lot of more than we realize. So a vote that is possibly null and void, Christians turn their backs on their brothers over? But you answered what the true reason was, and it's this. It's a strong delusion. For example, getting back to the guy who told me that you have blood on your hands. Wow. Working with him tonight, he says Trump put his foot in his mouth saying Muslims need to go. This poor Muslim family that lost their son fighting in our military, and his father spoke at the DNC holding up the Constitution saying, Trump, I've read this. You can borrow mine because you obviously haven't read the Constitution. I told him if he's a Muslim, he's following his faith by getting on TV and lying, and his Quran is completely opposite of what the Constitution says. The fact that you're telling me a Muslim was on TV lifting up the Constitution, it's laughable. It's equivalent to a Satanist getting on stage telling everyone to read the Bible. I see it's a blessing, Coach. Hey, guys, don't miss this. I see it's a blessing, Coach, to see these guys' true colors. The Lord showed me that the most important prep for us to make is, of course, spiritual. But to surround yourself with people who are loyal to righteousness. Better to find out now what brothers are loyal rather than finding out when you need them most. Maybe for help or protecting your family. One reason I'm drawn to you, your loyalty to God and to righteousness. I'm looking forward to your show. It's such a blessing. Real quick, I listened on Hagman, how you feel about Flip. Coach, that's how much you got me. I have strong care and love for you, a deep devotion towards your ministry. I know we've only met face-to-face a handful of times, but listening every day, I truly feel like family. So you see, Coach, some may be turning you on, but there's many more who are here to stand with you. God bless. Michael. That was a timely word by a brother who loves me. Hey, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to be my twin to be my brother. And the Lord's not pleased by it. Thanks, Rich. I just got your text. No, it ain't that bad, brother. It's the Lord sent this earthquake. I want to pause right there. Then I got something else that's really profound that I want to share with you. Anybody have a comment there?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I just want to comment. I believe there's more than a dozen times in the New Testament, and mostly in Paul's writings, but it says, that which you heard from the beginning, love one another.
Yep.
Love one another. You know, Romans reveals that the reason God extended salvation to the Gentiles was for the purpose of making the Jews, his first chosen people, jealous, so that the Jews would want to come in and become part of the family voluntarily instead of plugged in from the promise to Abraham. But jealousy is God's evangelistic plan. Now, he's going to make Jews jealous about Christians. The Jewish tradition is that families stick together. Families do for each other. Families through thick and thin. Families be family in the Jewish tradition, in the Jewish belief. And the only thing that Christians can do to make Jews jealous enough to want to become Christians is to out-love the family the way the Jews do. If we start doing what God told us to do dozens of times, love one another, not the world, one another.
Amen.
To love one another the way we're supposed to, people are going to see that support, that encouragement, that help, that togetherness, that coming together when there's brokenness, that rejoicing when there's good things going on. People are going to see that, and they're going to want to become a part of it.
You know, Larry, I have to confess. I've rejoiced when some of my brothers fell. That's wicked, brother. I quietly said, oh, well, he deserved it. Anybody say amen with me?
Amen.
I've been guilty of that. Doesn't please the Lord. I'm not too promise keeper-y today, am I? Huh? One big man hug? That's not what I'm getting at. I'm heading somewhere. Trust me. I'm always going somewhere.
Coach?
Yes, yes.
After yesterday's show, I was thinking about love and the two commandments that were given. And I was looking over at my neighbor's house thinking about loving my neighbor, and then I looked at me and I said, well, how do I love me first? There's a lot of me I don't like, and it bothers me, and I certainly don't want to carry that over to my neighbor's house and dump it on them.
Mm. Amen.
And so getting back to those two commandments, they're a lot harder than it sounds, because the root starts in our own heart. Sometimes we do have to, like you're doing today, we have to pour out our heart and confess and clear that path for ourselves to be able to go out and love others.
Amen. When
we talk about brokenness, we gotta fix it within ourselves.
Jared, let me say this real quick, Jared. Boy. 4 days in a row, the Lord spoke the same thing to me. 4 days in a row, since this whole thing began, however long that's been. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus said that. What's the leaven of the Pharisees, do you know? Self-righteousness. I'm a better Christian than you. If you had followed this, that wouldn't have happened to you. I'm a better Christian than you. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. And it's alive, hear me, it's alive and well in completely sold out, God-fearing Christians. They think they're better. It's the leaven of the Pharisees. Go ahead, Jared.
Just to follow up with Kevin, I've gone down that rabbit hole of kind of loving yourself type of thing, and it's not anything we do. We all know The only way you can do it, the only way you can love yourself is by recognizing that you're forgiven of all your crap. It's the only way.
And let me piggyback. And since you've been forgiven, you got to forgive.
Coach, you got it backwards.
Dag on it.
In order for you to be forgiven, you've got to forgive your brother's actions against you in order for you to be forgiven. Jesus was abundantly clear about that. He was so clear about it when he taught us to pray. He taught us to remind ourselves of that every time we pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those.
And Larry, talking about us, right? Talking about our team. Our team.
Absolutely. Only you know, our Father who is in heaven is the way he taught us to pray. Only the hour is included in that prayer. Those of us who are children of God, we pray for each other as we pray that prayer. You says pray for others, right? Well, praying for those who are ours, those who are children of God, who can rightfully claim God, the creator of the universe, as their Father. That's who the hour prayer. That's who can pray the hour prayer. And we are not forgiven. And Jesus followed up behind teaching us that prayer. He followed up by saying, if you do not forgive the sins of your brothers against you, your Father will not forgive you your
sins. Amen.
Read it. I didn't come up with this. The Bible says it.
Amen. 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 So, I'm heading somewhere, guys. I'm not building a cult. I learned this in a very short period of time. John Pride, you guys don't even know John. John's for me. He ain't against me. Steven Denson's for me. He ain't against me. I'm for Steven. I'm not against him. I'm for Rich. I'm not against Rich. I'm for Roger. I'm not against Roger. Why is it that we can't wait to attack one another over, wait a minute. You worship on Sunday? Don't you know the Catholics changed that? Don't you know Saturday's the day? We worship on Saturday. We are Torah observant. We're more righteous than you. I'm not voting for Trump. I'm far more righteous than that. Do you see it? Do you see the leaven of the Pharisees? Do you see it? And it's only by grace that I'm saved. That's all. Freely I've received, freely I give. Forgive. JR, you've been saying that for a while anyway. Can I move? Anybody else can move on, because this next part's going to blow you away. Get that other screen share up there, Jared.
The YouTube viewers are chiming in and sharing with us, Coach, and thanking you for this devotion this morning.
Amen. Amen. I know I'm telling you the truth. You know one thing I never put up with on our football teams? Never put up with it. You don't fight your teammate. You don't criticize your teammate. We could use a little bit of that in the church, couldn't we, boys? Hey, Christian brothers, we could use a little bit of that on Facebook, couldn't we, boys? Leaven of the Pharisees, self-righteous. Jesus said our righteousness is like filthy rags. Cut your brother some slack. Talking to me. So out of nowhere, I get this screen share today. God is so unbelievable. Then when I get up and I open up my computer, not only is there a pat on the back from Michael, the Lord's got this one on me. It's going to take a few minutes. Can you stay with me? Can you read through this with me, guys? I believe it's going to bless you. I don't even know this guy. Here we go. Recently, after reading the account of the historic meeting between David and Goliath, I was struck by the significance of its messaging concerning the end time period that we're entering into. Hey guys, listen, things are going to get rough. They're going to get rough, and we're freaking fighting with each other. Far more than a children's story, this account speaks of the collision of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. David and Goliath he's talking about now. There are a number of times in the scriptures that we witness such a dramatic encounter between these two kingdoms. We may think of the time of Moses and the Exodus from Egypt, the plagues in the Red Sea. We may think of Joshua and Jericho or Elijah and Mount Carmel. Then, of course, there is the Lord Jesus himself and the many occasions of his demonstrating the kingdom. In all of these events, we see something of the nature of these two opposite kingdoms and of the superiority of God's kingdom over Satan's. We may also learn something concerning our own lives and of the conflict we face from day to day. Each of these historic events may teach us of the things God wants us to know and the victory he wants us to share. There's victory in Jesus, and he wants us to play together and enjoy the victory together. We're coming to a time when we shall witness another great collision between God's kingdom and Satan's. No doubt it shall be as great, if not greater, than all of the others that have come before it. And it shall be a time when, once again, God displays his all-surpassing greatness and dominion over Satan. And to this end, our spirits cry, "Come, Lord Jesus!" Yeah, let's go, baby! As we read in 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath, we can first of all see that there are three principal characters which may represent three different peoples. Are you ready, guys? Are you ready for this? First, there's Goliath and the Philistines. They represent the world, or more specifically, unredeemed, rebellious men. There is something about them which may be encompassed by the term the spirit of the age. There they stand, full of defiance and mockery, willfully and arrogantly railing against accusations upon God and his people. They represent man in the fullness of self-power and self-glory. Do you see this picture, guys? This is the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil coming to maturity. Pride of life that looks down upon God from its own lofty height. The fullness of man which seeks to be as God and even to destroy all that is of God in his quest to have dominion over the earth. God haters we're talking about. We may notice in the description of Goliath that there is a reference to the number six. Six is the number of man. Goliath was 6 cubits in height, 6 pieces of armor, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels. We can say that he represents everything that the term Antichrist may speak of, as he stands there mocking all that is of God and calling God's people into the battle. And as we look out upon the world today, we can see that Goliath is getting himself ready again. We can hear the challenges ringing out saying, "Where's your God?" And the accusations of pouring forth to belittle the church and call her to war. This has always been the very essence of the Antichrist spirit. Warring against God. I added that. So there's one group of people, the God haters. Goliath and his crew, they're everywhere. They're in the White House, they're everywhere. The second character in this story is King Saul and his army. This group represents the people of God, but they are the people of God under the dominion of the flesh. They are a defeated company. Somebody say amen. They stand there facing Goliath, the church now, fearful, intimidated, Pastor Wayne, and without anointing or strength from God. We may ask, why is this? How can it be? How can the people of God find themselves in this kind of situation, in such a condition? Well, the answer is that although they are people of God, they are still ruled and controlled by the spirit of the world. They are under the dominion of King Saul, the flesh. The church is fleshly. Let's take a look at them. They stand there in all their worldly armor. The church he's talking about. They're all fitted out with everything that the world counts for something. They have their horses and their chariots and their weapons of flesh. And, of course, they have their king who stands so tall above the rest of them. And they look just like all the other nations in so many ways. I cannot help wondering how many of our denominations and church organizations are just like the armies of Saul. They're full of the ways of the world, and their strength comes from money, organization, and the power of the flesh. And we see in them the same spirit of this world that promotes itself with gimmicks, sales techniques, and all manners of human ability. Be a good time for somebody to say amen right there. There is another church. I'm sorry, there's also another characteristic that is common to the Saul church. That is disobedience to the word of God. King Saul cared more for the outward appearances of his success and power than for the obedience to God's word. He would obey God as long as it suited him, as long as it didn't threaten his own ambitions and desires to be successful in the eyes of the people. See, it's the same today in our denominations. Success, power, and outward appearances are the most important considerations. God's will and his purposes are often compromised for the sake of human interest and human traditions. And fellas, for that reason, Saul's army, Saul's church, they will stand alone on that day that Goliath confronts them. They will discover that Goliath is far stronger in terms of this world than they are themselves. And they will realize that they are no match for him. How frightening it will be on that day. Although today they are so full of their own strength and hypnotized by their own praises and positive confessions. Church is in for a rude awakening. But let's encourage you, boys. Thank God there's a third group in this story. This group is characterized by David. Yes, David was one of the people of God, but he wasn't part of Saul's army. In the same way today, there's a third group. They're scattered all around. They have no special organization or place to call their own. Yet they have two distinguishing characteristics that set them apart. They have a heart after God, and they are not of the King Saul army. You guys get that? This David company, like David of old, is small, insignificant, unimpressive, and unimportant. Yet God's hand is upon them. David was out in the wilderness tending his sheep when the call came to enter into the battle lines. He was doing that which God had placed in his care. He even thought it was insignificant and outwardly of little importance. Taking care of those sheep, that ain't nothing. We got a big church and we got all these plasma TVs and great praise group and a lot of programs. In the same way today, there are those that ask, well, what are you doing for God? What's come of your leaving the system? You see, they measure everything by outward considerations, and they spend their lives racing around organizing great things for God, yet in the end, they don't accomplish anything. David knew nothing of Saul's ways. He hadn't been in any of Saul's seminars, training schools, or Sunday schools, or heard any of his sermons. He didn't even know how to polish the armor, let alone wear Saul's armor into battle. Listen, all David knew is he had learned out there amongst the ordinary circumstances of daily life. He had learned the simple things of truth, love, and faithfulness. He had learned how to walk with God each day. But this is God's way. He always takes the lowly things, the foolish things, and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Likewise, listen, boys, You listening, Kevin? Likewise, God's preparing a people today. They're nothing now. Some have left their denominations. Some are still amongst them wondering why it is that they no longer feel a part of it anymore. They can no longer get excited by the latest seminar or outreach. Instead, they sigh and groan at the lack of God's presence in the church. And they're grieved by the human way. They're grieved by the way human power has filled the gap. When David arrived on the scene, he had no organization backing him. There were no credentials or any such things. There was only, wow, the anointing of God. That's all he had. God knew where he wanted David to be. God brought things together as he always does in the fullness of, if I might add, his time. See, David could stand before Goliath because God was with him. Nothing more, nothing less. His spirit was stirred against this monster. David was not afraid. He knew that there was one far greater who was standing with him. When David spoke to Goliath to challenge him, it wasn't so much David speaking as God himself speaking. When David took the stone and placed it in his sling, again, it was God's choosing and preparing. When David sent his stone flying towards its mark, it was God guiding it just to the right place. Such is the way of all true ministry. It is God inside man doing the work and bringing forth the fruit. There are many today who are trying to achieve great things for God. They're using all of this world's resources to try and do it. Yet God's not doing it. They imagine that human effort is the key to divine fruitfulness. They have missed God's way completely. God desires a people who are dead to man's ways and man's methods as far as kingdom work is concerned. See, we're still trying to think that the president of the United States is going to change America. Christians are, that's the fight. Which man's going to save us? They're using all this world's resources. I'm sorry. God desires a people who are dead to man's ways and man's method as far as kingdom work is concerned. He is preparing a people who will wait for him and move as he moves them and who will work according to his power that works in them mightily. It may take him a long time to get Rich or Pastor Wayne to that place. Yet God has his timing. A day is coming when that great conflict will arrive. Which team will you be part of? You going to be on Goliath's team? King Saul's team? Or will you be on David's team? It may be hard to say right now, but today we'll declare it. Nothing is sure. We'll find out on that day which side you're on. For then we shall find ourselves in the place that our hearts have chosen. So let us call upon the Lord today while it's still today, asking him to change our hearts. Put us on David's team. May we seek to learn to walk with God and be faithful unto all that he may call us to do. May we learn the ways of humility, be satisfied with simply living before him each day. May we also be careful to remain free from the ways of King Saul. Praise God for his all-surpassing greatness and glory. Whose team you on, boys? Whose team are you on? And I think the truth be known, most of us are on Saul's army. We don't think we are, but we are. And what was the only thing David was armed with? The anointing. That's all he needed. We got 5 minutes. Way in here, boys.
You weren't alone last night in terms of being up.
You were up too.
You should have called.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't hear whoever's speaking. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
We're getting feedback there, I think. So I would say this, that there's a this earthquake is a pruning. It can either make us better or break us. And there's enough brokenness in the world already. And I know, listen, I don't want to find out in the middle of the battle that I couldn't trust you. That's all of us, isn't it? And you know what the Lord's revealing to me? Who I can count on. And who can count on me. It's not just words. It's the reality of where we live. My phone's blowing up still this morning. God's sending an earthquake. Or what's the Bible say? He sent a whirlwind. Jared.
The thing I've noticed with speaking truth, and I don't mean just like the Bible. If you're honest with people, with what you're thinking, you'll know if you can trust them, because they'll either attack you or they'll pat you on the back. And it can be anything. You know, you can say, look, you're wrong about going to McDonald's. And they'll say, no, you're an idiot. Wendy's is better. Now you know. You know you've learned something about each other from being honest.
That's
but you
right.
have to know yourself first to be able to do that.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Jared. And I don't say, okay, Jared, well, I'm not going to be your friend anymore if you're going to eat McDonald's.
Yeah, this is what, true. What that looks like. We're going to get some.
Okay. That's what's going on, isn't it, fellas? Isn't that what's going on? And whether we want to, I'm talking to me now, whether we want to own up to it or not, it's the leaven of the Pharisees. It's self-pride. It's the idea that I'm more righteous than you. Now, that don't mean you don't wield the sword. That don't mean you don't love your brother. That doesn't mean you don't correct your brother. But the Bible is very clear. There's a way to do it. And it ain't on Facebook. In fact, Larry, I'm being corrected by people on Facebook who I have no relationship with. I don't even know them. But they know they're more righteous and more holy than me. Because they're voting for anybody but Trump. I'm voting for Trump. Blood on my hands. Got a new commentary up today, by the way. A news with you. Hope you all get it. Hey, guys, I never do this. Throw a prayer our way today, okay? Throw a prayer towards our house. That's all you need to know. We're okay. God's faithful. But there's an earthquake, and some of our china's fallen, and it's broken on the floor, and we got to try to clean it up here and maintain our focus. Hey, John, you know about broken china. John Pride, you know about broken china, don't you, brother? Huh?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, John. There's been those who've probably rejoiced in your broken china, too. Isn't that sad? brothers who've rejoiced in that broken china in your house. Hey, yes, Cole. Yes, Larry.
Okay, when we pray the way Jesus taught us to, our Father, you're including every true brother and sister in Christ in your prayer. And then we go on, thy will be done. Amen. So every circumstance of every brother and sister in Christ that's out there, I pray for them at least once a day. Amen. Because I pray, our Father, and your will be done. And that covers illness. It covers financial problems. It covers emotional problems. It covers every problem could possibly happen. And those two little bitty things, that's a fantastic prayer that Jesus taught us to pray.
Thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great day.
David's Remnant Army.
What's that?
We're David's Remnant Army.
We're David's Remnant Army. Let's go find some other guys. Get them in this army, huh? God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Hang on to the chime.